Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Remarkable how much attention the Bible gives to demonic activity, the activity of demons, how they influence people, and how they affect places and cultures and cities. Often, we don't talk a lot about demonic activity. And one of the things the scripture is constantly showing us and teaching us is about the presence of demonic forces of darkness, cosmic forces that are seeking to undo the gospel of Jesus. We have to be aware of the strategies of the devil. We have to understand what's happening behind the curtain so that we might be effective in our witness and to show where the true power is, the resurrection power of Jesus. We're going to look at this today from Acts chapter 19 as Paul enters Ephesus and deals with serious demonic powers and how the power of Jesus overcomes. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. Please find us on Facebook and also on Twitter at agradio1. On that website are all the podcasts and programs free for download. You can support us if you wish right at agradio.org. This is now part two of a message that we heard yesterday from Acts chapter 19, that word above all earthly powers. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. He understands that behind the things going on, demons are working on the weaknesses of a culture, on the things that the particular cities and cultures value, and the demons are working hard on that. And we have to be aware of that. For instance, ministering in Southern California, in Escondido, is radically different than ministering in Linden. You know that. The lawns are perfect in Linden. They're not here. It's just terrible. Everyone's in church on Sunday. Everyone's viewed upright. Everyone's viewed righteous. What do you think a demon would love to do and work on in a city like that? Well, you could create the lowest common denominator Christianity ever in a culture like that, that stands for nothing. You could have churches full on Sunday, as Barnhouse said years ago, where nobody's preaching Jesus. Becomes very self-righteous Pharisee stuff. What happens in Southern California? Well, you got a lot of wealthy people. You got a lot of people who've done well. They have the ease of life. They got the Corinthian life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And sex dominates the culture. So that how many in San Diego County, I heard the number recently, whether it's true or not, I don't know. 8% of people in San Diego County are in church on Sunday. 95 in Linden. You tell me the differences of what's going on. Drive through Humboldt County. I live there. It is so dark. The occultism, the darkness. Ashland, go to Ashland. Walk through the streets of Ashland. You see it. Demons are working, and they know just how to work on particular places. Now, I hope I've set this up. Ephesus was the most superstitious of all the cities. Black magic, demonic activity. It had a widespread reputation for sorcery, occult practices. A lot of it was tied to the temple goddess Diana. There's going to be a riot in the next section that we'll study. She was called the Queen of Heaven. Multitudes of sorcerers and wizards and magicians. They had the voodoo dolls out. They poked them at people. Ancient Greeks and Romans often turned to magic to achieve all their personal goals of life. Oh, this might connect a little bit. Listen to this. Ancient Greeks and Romans often turned to magic to achieve personal goals. Magic rites were seen as a route for direct access to the gods for material gains as well as spiritual satisfaction. Demons are working all the time. In some cases, Which is interesting that it seems that this sort of exorcist mentality, this black magic mentality, took over the Jews in some of their pockets, so that we're finding Jewish exorcists here in Ephesus. So here we are. Paul walks into this. You have to think about what to do in a place like this. You have to think about what to emphasize in a place like this, how to minister in a place like this. It takes wisdom. And if we never think about any of this, you see, our witness is not going to be very helpful. You have to be able to process and think about the culture and the things that are happening. And it's direct tie to demonic activity because Paul says it's happening everywhere. So he walks into Ephesus, and this is on his mind. He directly combats this spiritual forces of darkness with what? First thing, the Holy Spirit. He is on Paul's mind. He cannot get the Holy Spirit out of his mind. He's thinking to himself one thing. The effects of Pentecost are not here. The effects of Pentecost are not here. That needs to happen. So he finds some disciples who were John's disciples. If there's going to be really any effect in this culture, it has to influence these Christians with how the breaking in of Jesus' resurrection has shattered this age and brought in a power that nobody else has known or seen into this era, into this time, into this place. And that power is on his mind. Power, power, he's thinking. He's writing this to the Ephesians. So to make any headway, there will have to be a strong understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. So he's thinking about the importance of Pentecost. And remember, Paul would spend one of his longest missionary runs here in Ephesus. Remember, he'll tell them in chapter 20, I stayed here 3 years warning you day and night with tears. This, you have got a battleground right here. Ephesus became a sort of staging post for the apostles and the New Testament to help us understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here are these disciples of John. They're not believers. They don't even really know Jesus. They don't know him. They're followers of John. Wrong guy. So Paul comes in and he asks them, and this has been so abused as if they're second blessing Pentecostalism and all that stuff, that you don't receive the Holy Spirit till later. That has nothing to do with this passage. They have butchered it. These people never were saved. So notice what happens here. Paul asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He knows they're not Christians. This is not a question of curiosity. This is an evangelistic witness question. He's pushing them. Have you received the Spirit? He knows they have it. Now, notice here, the entire Old Testament and anticipated the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All the Old Testament prophets spoke of it when the Spirit would come. They had heard of the day of the Spirit. They knew of the prophecies of the Spirit. And when did that day happen? Well, we studied it back in Acts chapter 2. It happened at Pentecost. Ephesus was on the western coast of Asia Minor in modern Turkey. Paul is looking around at things and he thinks to himself, this place needs a Pentecost. Not that Pentecost is repeated, but what we've seen is Acts is showing us a sort of second Pentecost with Cornelius and now a third Pentecost with Ephesus, the effects of it breaking out. Have you received the Spirit? Well, we don't even know whether there's such a Spirit who's come. You don't. What were you baptized in then? John's baptism. That's the problem. You're still tied to the old order. This is all this is saying. You're still tied to the old. Not what is broken in into the present, the age of the Spirit in the present. And Paul then begins to preach Jesus to them, as they did in Acts 2. And as he preaches Jesus, they ask. Notice this. Hearing Paul preach, we read, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Repentance. And notice baptism signifying his person and work, not John. So what happens? Right then and there, when they believe in Jesus, the Spirit comes. And we have the phenomenon of Acts 2.
shown to us again, where the same thing that happens in Acts 2 now breaks out into Ephesus. They start prophesying and preaching in other tongues the wonderful works of God, the kingdom of God. Now something's going to happen. But Luke does something that's really helpful this morning for us to appreciate this. He now tells the great a story that happened in Ephesus that was meant for us to understand how the effects of the coming of the kingdom affect a place like Ephesus. What happens now that the Spirit's power is present? Look at it. God was doing, verse 11, extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Many men tried this. It didn't work, by the way. They were all trying at one point to have the handkerchief healings. You'll notice here that even Luke says, this was absolutely extraordinary. Extraordinary in Acts standards, right? All miracles to us are extraordinary in Acts. This was absolutely extraordinary beyond what anything they had ever seen so far. Handkerchiefs that touch Paul are healing other people. And you'll notice here that Jesus' power is coming upon the people. Not Paul's. Remember the woman with the flow of blood? If I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. The imagery is the garment of Jesus is going out. The power, remember it said in Mark, power went out from him. He knew power is breaking out into Ephesus, real power, and it's delivering people. And again, this is one of those things where you say, well, where is this today? Acts is showing us these things, not as normative for the ministry as we understand it, that the same power is present today, but it's showing us these miracles to testify to the power of the word. When the word is spoken, this kind of power breaks out to save people. So, here's what happens. This is the encouragement. All of a sudden, these itinerant Jewish exorcists see this power. A little bit like Simon the Sorcerer. And they say, you know, if we start preaching in the name of this Jesus, we can do this. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, these seven sons of this Jewish high priest. Here's the moment. This is so fascinating in verse 15. But the evil spirit answered him. Them. Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them. Mastered, and notice the language, overpowered them. So that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell on all of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Why is this here? Here's the point. You look around at the world right now, and all of us as Christians are timid and scared. We really are. We're fearful in witness. That's why we're not speaking. But we're also looking at the world and we're looking at the powers of the world merely on a human level. And we're scared there. This is what we're doing when we're watching the news all the time. We're seeing the movements. We're seeing the shifts. And everything's coming down on us. I mean, seriously, don't you feel somewhat hemmed in by all the madness that we're dealing with in the world? And it's not a bunch of, and this is the point here, it's not a bunch of people loosely doing their own thing. In other words, as Revelation taught us, this is a beastly kingdom of the world, and there are uniting powers coming together in society. It's all united together in the beastly kingdom of the world. It's not against it. It's not protesting that. But it will protest Jesus and Christianity. There's a corrupt system at work. It unites in all of these different agendas that unites together. And this is what Revelation taught us when we went through it. So think of all the voices. Think of all the agendas. Think of the changing value systems. Think of all the things happening in the world. And all the system of darkness and its complex and all the things that are happening. What this is telling us is behind it all are demons backing and supporting it. We never think about it. Everything you're seeing going on, there are demons backing and supporting it. This is why there will be, as Revelation says, a final battle of a collective battle between the beastly kingdoms of the world and Christ's kingdom. Now, it scares us. What do? Close our mouths. We retreat. We haven't seen stuff come at us like this. We don't know what to do. And what concerns me most about Christians today is that much of us are so caught up in it, it's easy to get sucked up in it. All of these movements and agendas, we don't even realize what they're directly tied to. And we can easily fall into that. We're scared. What do? But here's what I want to emphasize today. Did you see what happened? Jesus is not just another power in the world. Jesus is not just another power. The exorcist tried to tap into it. They tried to get this power. And when they did it, deadly mistake. For apart from faith, you have no connection to the head. So what happens? I know Jesus. Of course they know Jesus. All things were made through him. They know who this is. And when they came to him, when he walked on this earth, they bowed and said, "Are you coming to torment us before the time?" Though they know Jesus. How about this one? I'm well acquainted with Paul. But who are you? And the demon overpowers them. The peoples of the world, all of them outside of the kingdom of God and Jesus, are under the direct sway of the evil one, 1 John. They belong to a system. The demons have one desire for them, to use them and destroy them. They don't know them. Sad, isn't it? But listen to this. The demons absolutely fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. And they're well acquainted with who are his. Now, what does that do for you? Every time those demons came into contact with Jesus, total fear. And they even had to ask Jesus, Simon, Satan himself came to me today and asked to sift you as wheat. But guess what I did for you? I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. We need to ask, do we have a confidence in the one we're identified with? We need this confidence. Then if we do, we should start acting like it. And remember who we are, who we stand with, and ask why in the world would we be afraid of any of this? Here's the power we need to see. What happens? It became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, and also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Look at the power of the Spirit break out into Ephesus, and look what begins to happen. People are set free. See it? You know what that tells me? Is that the greatest witness that we can have among these present darknesses is an absolute confidence that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And an absolute confidence of what Jesus said, do not fear, I have overcome the world. When you live in holy reverence of the name of Christ and are connected to him, your head, you have a confidence that his power is absolutely above every earthly power. It's not even a match. Well, then, that should affect what we do. That should affect who we are, right? I'm a victor. I've overcome. Do you notice what it said? They confessed, and they disassociated with all the known practices of darkness in the culture. It's hard for me to say that today. I always fear when I say something like that, I'm going to be called a fundy, you know? Fundamentalist. Can't say that stuff today because we really are not too separate from the culture at all. They burned their books. They were willing to live more counterculturally. They set aside that which was clearly associated with demons and not say, oh, let's not be too strict, right? Do you think we as Christians are in danger of separating from the culture or falling in? I don't think it's the former. Our problem has not been asceticism or monasticism. Our problem is far more that we've desired friendship with the world to be accepted by them than we have more lived in fear of God. But it's this kind of confidence is what I want to encourage you with. It's this kind of confidence that should make us bold in saying, this is who I follow. This is why what Paul was doing, he was preaching to them even in the school of Tyrannus, the school of the tyrant there in Ephesus when he got kicked out of when he left the synagogue, that preaching the kingdom of God. He stayed steady with the message. He preached the word. He said what needed to be said in love. The power of the Spirit has come, a powerful kingdom and a powerful word that is broken into the present that shatters the darkness. The darkness is passing away, but the light is already shining. So you end up today with verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. What am I saying to you today? Well, let's close with this verse. Turn over to Ephesians 1. You'll now appreciate it. Look at verse 15. I hope I've built to this to show you how marvelous what he's saying to them here. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen to this. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And here it is, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, did you hear it? The very power that is given to you is the very power that raised him from the dead. Be confident in it. Pray for boldness. As Paul said, pray for me with boldness that I might speak. This is what's ours. The darkness can't touch you. You're children of the light. And be smart in these times. Be wise in these times to see what's happening. Discern the times, for the days are evil. And use wisdom in speaking of your Savior. But just remember what Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, you share in that victory. Greater is he who is in you, Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.